I'd like to welcome you once again to our gathering, brothers and sisters. And for those of you, this is your first visit, you're more than welcome, and I'm sure you'll feel the bliss and the joy that each of us do each time that Adana speaks to us. First of all, the lectures, or not lectures, but the talks that Adana will be giving to us are on the Christ consciousness through astrological symbology. This is the third in a series of four of the talks. It won't be difficult to pick up on what has already been given. He has a chart to start off very well and keep us up to date on it. Adana's background is Mongolian on his father's side, and Spanish, Chinese, and Indian on his mother's side. As a young child, he was raised in the Catholic Church from his mother's background, and so chose later to follow the Eastern beliefs of his father, the Mongolian side. In his early training, he was also being taught as a priest. But then again, and as he changed over to the Eastern belief, he began his meditations. And he meditated for 21 years. And in 1969, along with his wife, Margaret, was initiated into the household of Swami of Saraswati, the household of Saraswati. And at that time, he was given the name Swami Nityananda Saraswati. He is now a minister of the All Faith Fellowship in Tyler, Texas, where there is a retreat, and all are welcome to visit. And he goes by the name of Reverend Adana Lay. There is really no more necessary to be said for Adana. He speaks for himself, and we all love him very much. May we welcome him now.
Thank you, Eileen. I've always said that these are not lectures for Swamis. This is satsanga. And at the satsanga, many things are occurring. The mind is restless when you come in, so we have to calibrate the mind. One, you have a physical contact, two, a mental contact, and three, an extrasensory contact. In order to calibrate the mind, you keep the consciousness at a point between the eyebrows. Am I loud enough?
No.
Okay. Well, we threw in a lot of information pertaining to the Christ consciousness in astrological symbology, but I think folks should move over this side so they can see on the blackboard. It's easier for them to see and understand. In the chart, we'll see, for those who were not here before and those who were here, this is an outline of the cosmic man in astrology, utilizing the physical body as a reference point. The earth sign in Oriental spiritual studies and astrology, it's always the base of the spine. That's where the earth. The sun is the top of the head. The moon is in the forehead. Now this has to do with the inner astral body. There's the word comes again, astral body. Man has an astral body. He has a physical body, an astral body or electrical body. That would be the new name now as we come into tonight's lecture. And he has an idea body or causal body. Now the inner astrology works different than the outer astrology. The inner astrology resolves itself mathematically all the time. And there is where, according to the autobiography of a yogi, Sri Yukteswar told his student Yogananda that everyone is deeply connected inwardly. That's quite a statement. Everyone is deeply connected inwardly. You and I are one inwardly in the inner astrology. Now, to establish the age you're in, that is again the incarnation you're in, we have to establish it on the right side of the earth plane, which is the positive. And we established that yesterday by studying the previous age. We are coming into Aquarius, but we couldn't know where Aquarius would come in on the inner man until we study where it, the last age was in the inner man. The last age was called the Piscean age. And we are familiar with the personality of the Christ in that age as Jesus. And we establish some interesting facts why the symbolism revolving around his life stated that he was born in a manger and of a virgin, and the heralding of the news by the angel, and he was of a royalty and house of David, Lion of Judah. And some interesting facts were revealed. And the child, you know, immaculate conception seems acceptable. Grow up as an adult in a household life don't seem so acceptable. But that doesn't say physiologically that is not true. Scientists are going to prove that too. But in astrological anatomy or astrological terminology, we can see an interesting fact. If Pisces representing the Christ all the time in the astrological symbolism is located on the right side, Pisces is in here. Aries is over here. This is the master key we have to work before we can understand today's lecture, which is the birth of woman, fall of man. Aries, Taurus, all below the navel are that particular portion of the human anatomy that forms like a cave. If you look at your own physical body, you have a like a cave, and that's where it protrudes when it's pregnant. Gemini. In astrological symbology, Pisces represents the Christ. Gemini represents man, male, female, and Reginius soul. Interesting, twin. Out of man came female. But in astrological symbology, Gemini is the representation of man. It's in the heart center on the right side of the inner man. Now we have Cancer in the throat. The Cancer is a crab having two qualities, a degenerate quality and a regenerate quality, depending on what side of the cosmic man it's acting. When it's on the right side, it's regenerative. From personal experience as a boy, you cut off the leg of a crab, it will grow another one back. And there are certain techniques we know in South America to convert a crab into a scorpion. Interesting, there's only a symbol in the whole of the astrological makeup that has a scorpion representing the beast. And by certain techniques, we can monitor that scorpion and direct it to sting you and its people. This may sound like some weird voodoo. Yet, these are certain rules or laws that do exist. And why would it seem to occur that way? Yet, here we have an interesting setup in astrological symbology to show certain things can happen. The moon is in Leo. Lion, Judy, royalty. A lion roars before he attacks. Therefore, the heralding of an angel or bringing in a message, bringing good news, advent. And the sun, clear light, is in Virgo. Purity, the virgin. So born of a virgin, immaculate, pure, no impurity in the sun sign. The Piscean age is being born, coming in at the first apex on the earth center, on the rising side, which is positive, which is west. Libra, balance, order, being established in line with the regenerative principle of Cancer. Scorpio, which represents the serpent or subtle force or the negative charge, the downward pull, is on the other side of the heart. But you notice it's opposite to man all the time, always going to put you in conflict with yourself. And in the heart center, the thing that is closest to you, there are certain feelings that are very close to man in his makeup that a subtle force will try to tear down. Sagittarius horse and man combination, they call the centaur or the archer. So again we find it in the lower region with the other animals. And we find another creature called Capricorn, a goat. And we find finally Aquarius, life-giving. We have a delineation of the Christ in the astrological symbology coming forth now, being born in a manger. That's a storage place for animals. And of virgin birth, the sun sign being in Virgo and the moon being in Leo, that means the mother's side, again, she was supposed to come from royalty, the house of David. Interesting. Are these symbols just coincidental? Or are they planned for the age in which the Christ intelligence must appear? The personality can change. Jesus could have been called Abby, you know, or Willy, or he might have been called Chu, or Chan, or Smith. But nevertheless, the name won't make any difference. The Christ intelligence would have had to flow in the Piscean age from the inner man that we see. Once we've established the master key, we can then study the ages behind that went on, or ages ahead of us. We must establish the master key to find it. We must establish the symbols that represent. So the Pisces represents the Christ all the time. The Gemini represents the man all the time. The Scorpio represents the subtle beast all the time. Leo, royalty. Cancer, regenerative or degenerative, Libra, balance, new law, rule, Virgo, pristine, something new, untouched, unpolluted. Now we find three other interesting names. In Hindu philosophy, Sagittarius is called Guru, meaning teacher. Now, they said there were three wise men who came from the East in search of the Christ. We will see three wise men because in astrology there are four signs that refer to the spiritual signs: Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. But the first one brought gold. Well, naturally, Sagittarius is the beneficent sign, and unto it is the planet Jupiter rules, and gold is governed by Jupiter. So we see that Sagittarius is that first wise man. Capricorn, representing organization, ministry, we see now frankincense, some material substance that gives a sweet odor. And Aquarius, something that a sign that represents life giving, brought myrrh, something you use at death to preserve or sustain life after death or preserve. So Aquarius represented myrrh as the mastery of life over death. The Piscean wise man, there was a fourth wise man. Three came at birth from the east to the west in a movement east to west in search of the Christ child. The fourth wise man came at death. That would mean he'd have to come after Aquarius. He brought another gift. History tells us, and certain writings tell us, that fourth wise man brought a pearl. A pearl. Then the reference, pearl of great price. Well, if you look into Pisces, it's a water sign, it's a marine life. And pearl usually comes from marine life. And pearl is used in healing in the Oriental countries. In Sri Yukteswar's instruction to Yogananda, in the other biography of the yogi, concerning Yogananda's sister's illness, he told them to get an unperforated pearl in a golden clasp and attach it to the foot, and it will prevent paralysis, which the sister was suffering from, and she was healed. We have some interesting relationship. Now this is the master key of the last age. And we are constantly celebrating the birth of Christ all the time, not understanding the deep significance. But from this master key, we can understand previous ages, going right back to the birth of the universe, the birth of man, the birth of woman, and the fall of man, the redemption of man, and the future of man. Today's lecture. Yesterday we went back and covered some of the fall, some of the various civilizations in biblical time and how they fit into the symbology. A brief review. We know that Moses came in the age of Taurus because the golden bull was revered. The symbolism is the bull. And if you put Taurus here, this represents the age, and move Gemini to this position, man is in the sexual region. And if we move Cancer is in the dorsal region or the navel region. And then we put Leo in the heart center. And then we put Virgo in the moon. We'll have to put Libra in the sun sign, your Mosaic code, because Virgo represents law, the Mosaic law. Scorpio would be in the throat, It has a great sea. But let's look at some interesting things. If we write it out and go over it again. Just to get a brief review of the positions. Better to write it out so you can see it clearly. And then we'll take the birth of woman, fall of man. Here is Taurus. Here is Gemini. Here is Cancer. Here is Leo. Here is Virgo. Here is Libra. Here is Scorpio. Scorpio.
Scorpio is at the sun.
Scorpio was in the sun.
We have Libra in the sun, sure.
Taurus, Aries, Aquarius, Pisces. Capricorn. Sagittarius. Scorpio. Libra. Moses came, and you notice the moon is in Libra, a new law. And the sun is in Scorpio, the subtle force, or the brazen serpent being lifted up. Now, no matter how the subtle force, the dark force, will try to run the universe, and the throne of God, or the central sun, is the creative force, whenever it gets up in there, it becomes transmuted, the light of the divine consciousness transmutes the darkness. Now, Gemini, man is in the sexual region. Pisces, the Christ, is in the opposite side. It's in that period of the Taurian age that all the sexual practices were developed to awaken different type of psychic phenomena. Because the energy was going downwards, Pisces was going down. More of the earthy nature of the two animals, Taurus and Pisces, Aries were very predominant. We find that men idol worship images, involved himself with perverted sex acts or imitating acts, awakening false ideas about Kundalini, the life energy, and got bitten by the serpent. And I used to see as a boy, and you turn a picture of Moses in the desert, and a whole host of Israelites all bitten on this part of the leg by a serpent. I don't know why here. It says up to the groin. Well, to understand, if you see the strange setup in the inner man, they were working on the principles of yoga, awakening the life energy, but it was distorted because it was pulling down. And then Moses, the Christ in the man, the Christ in that particular period, gave them the brazen serpent by raising it up in the desert. So Scorpio, which is the symbol that looks like a serpent, is in the sun sign. Brazen means it's golden, polished, brilliant. There just ain't no darkness in it now. Everything is wiped out. It's a redeeming principle. Scorpion can be degenerate and can be regenerate. And we have his companion, Cancer, that can be regenerate and degenerate. And as I said, as a boy, we knew the technique of how to change a crab into a scorpion. But we never knew how to bring a scorpion back into a crab. This was one thing we never learned. But it is possible by a certain way to do it, physically speaking. Now, interesting how in the Taurian age that Scorpio should end up in the sun sign and the brazen image lifted up as a redemptive principle. Taking the Piscean master key and studying it backwards now into the age, we can study the Mosaic age, the Mosaic period. We see Libra representing law, the moon that governs the earth, the predominant force that influences all activity. The do's and the don'ts of Sagittarius, the teacher, comes in now. Virgo, the virgin, we see now that a new set of people have to come forth to have a new voice. Israelites being taken out from Egypt. It's the first time they've come out of bondage. Yet, Moses is a prince, but not born a prince. Adopted into the house of the Egyptians, so Leo is in the heart center on the right side. Leo is royalty. So the master, or the Christ intelligence, was an adopted being. But opposite we have Capricorn, which is, he was made a scapegoat and had to flee out of Egypt. Because there's a story that goes, he fought with an Egyptian and have killed the Egyptian, and then he was forced to leave Egypt and go out. Therefore, the heart is affected, which is the central point. Now, we say the crisis in Pisces. Well, we have this as a guide. Today's lecture now we can take. I don't want to go into Abraham, which is the one that's coming up behind, you see. That's the age of Aries. But let's go on to the fall, the origin of woman and fall of man. This brings us a little understanding of what today's lecture involves. We know that Gemini represents man. That is both male and female. So we have to locate on the chart Gemini. What we must understand in the origin of man, or origin of woman now. They said woman was made from the what of man? Well, let's look for a location in the cosmic man that would represent rib area. Either right or left. Now right you would have to be awake, left you'd be asleep. On the negative side. So we put Gemini. And the Lord calls a great sleep to come over man in that period to bring forth Eve, the woman, from the rib of man, splitting for the first time the two forces up of the soul, male, female. Now, if we go down the scale, Gemini, the next sign after Gemini would be Cancer. And the next sign going down would be Leo. And the next sign coming up would be
Virgo.
Sign of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Woman being born, coming forth. Libra. You notice where the subtle beast is situated now?
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite side of man. He's going to tamper with the woman to cause man to drop down. Sagittarius. Capricorn. Aquarius, Pisces, you see where the crisis is now? The crisis of the sun sign. Aries, Taurus. Before Abraham was, before Adam was, before Eve was, I was. And even into the nether regions, I am Omega, Alpha and Omega, Christ, the nether region, live. The Christ is still ruling in the origin of woman. Strange. The subtle force is on the right side. Now, the subtle force is attacking. Where in the woman? Where in man? Only that part that is in lower regions. Only that part which you call solar plexus or pseudo brain. This is not a real brain. It actually has a brain sometimes. And in astral projection, shedding the body and seeing the self being naked or nude, devoid of the body, that's why they fell, you know. That's when they were tempted, fell, and they told the Lord that they no longer can face him because they were nude. He said, how do you know that? Who told you that? Scorpio is going to affect Gemini in a strange way. This is the origin of the woman now. Virgo is under ascent. And the Christ intelligence is ruling supreme in the sun center. We're going to create a diversion to upset the apple cart. We are told when the woman is in the garden, it was to be a helpmate to the man. And we're told that they were supposed to eat of the fruit of the garden, but not the one in the midst of the garden. So if this is the root of a tree, then the fruit is lower to the bottom. Man is like an upturned tree. The roots are in his head. His nervous system runs down like branches in reverse to a tree which is out this way. We are going this way. We are drawing sustenance from the brain, from the cosmos, like the roots draw sustenance from the ground. In this age, the Christ is drawing sustenance directly from the sun. The regenerative man, the true Christ man, does not need no food, no sustenance from earth, not even in the nether region. He's drawing it strictly from the inner source of consciousness. Now, the subtle beast is going to set up the motion of desire. Within man. So when you have a desire, your stomach starts to churn. A craving begins in the stomach, in the bowel area for something. You want something, you don't know why. And if you don't get what you want, you go put something in your mouth to eat. Ever get frustrated to the extent that you can't explode your frustration, then you go, you gotta put something in the mouth. It's a toothpick, or a cigarette, or a cup of water, or coffee, or alcohol. Something has got to go in to veer the mouth. Strange. Yet, an action is starting. Scorpio is going to tell Gemini, if you eat of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden, you won't die. But Aquarius is in the moon. Aquarius would regulate the function of the earth and regulate the function of man or woman, and especially in the lower region of the physical frame, it would regulate the menstrual cycle. It would regulate labor. You won't die. You would have a knowledge of life, of good and evil. Only a knowledge of good and evil, but not a knowledge of life and death. It didn't say to Gemini, Scorpio did not say to Gemini, you would have a knowledge of life and death, but you have a knowledge of good and evil. Big difference. Having a knowledge of good and evil and having a knowledge of life and death. Because only the Piscean or the Christ knows the knowledge of life and death. They are together now in the highest state in the formation of woman, and before, when he was redeeming them, Pisces was here and Aquarius was over here in the earth realm. Remember we started out with that Pisces was here representing the Christ, and on this side we had Aquarius, the life principle, the third wise man. Now they are close up in the sun sign, in the central portion of the brain, and they are in harmony, in unity. So everything is in alliance. So the tree of life is up here. The tree of good and evil is down here. Scorpio is going to trigger off this action. Desire is going to trigger off feeling now, in modern terminology. So we'll shift. And this is what they call fall of man. A downward movement. Gemini will go down into the sex region. Feeling is going to be stimulated by Scorpio, the subtle force, desire, to reach out, to experiment with a form of creative energy. Not the pure creative energy of consciousness, but the storage battery of creative energy in the lower region. So Gemini moves down into the sex region. And Cancer moves into the outside. Now you notice Cancer is supposed to be a degenerate and a regenerate symbol. If it moves into the earth sign, into the negative side, disease will come forth by malus or misuse of man's knowledge of the sex energy. Leo has shifted over. to the positive side. Leo is on the ascent. Virgo is on the right side. Woman is on the right side, but being pulled down. Libra, the scale, the balance is being tipped. Either to go up or to go down. But look where Scorpio has positioned itself. The thing closest to the heart, it attacks. Sagittarius, the guru, has gone up into the moon. Oh, the throat, I'm sorry, the throat. Gone up to the throat. And the moon of my delight, the apple of my eye, is Capricorn, the scapegoat. Man is made a scapegoat now by believing in Scorpio, which attacks him closest to the heart, his other half. But the sun is in Aquarius. Still, man doesn't learn life over death. All he got now is a knowledge of good and evil, because the Pisces, the Christ, has moved down into the throat. And Aries, behold, the Lamb of God will take away the sins of the world. It has to go forth now. The Christ will have to go forth as a lamb to redeem the fall. Then man must plow the ground to feed himself, because the Christ has shifted. Man in his pristine state, woman in the pristine state, were drawing from that source. But now they shift down, and they have to plow the earth. By the sweat of their brow, they go to eat bread. You see how we are constantly affected from an inner astrology, more so than an outer astrology. Each one of us basically is living a rise and a fall every instant inwardly. And each one of us will redeem ourselves and lift up ourselves. Now in the Piscean age, Pisces was over here, and Gemini was over here. And Virgo was in the sun sign. And it states, if I be lifted up, that if Pisces move up towards the sun center, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If Pisces move up, Gemini will be redeemed. What we see here, Pisces has to come down to go and make the whole circle to pull up the fall of man. The fall of man is redeemed every time the Christ go forth as the lamb, the sacrifice to bring back man back to his pristine state. Now he's fallen only because we say the birth of woman caused it to move. Now don't blame the woman physically. These are laws that we are just living out. It's Shrivita. Now let us look at an interesting fact. Before, when man was created in the pristine state, we will put man in his pristine state. That is at the top of the cosmic man. We place him there. Then we will place the others in mind. Leo, Virgo. You see where the woman is appearing? Libra, balance in the sex region. See where the subtle region, the subtle force is supposed to be at the base of the earth, hidden on the nether side, negative side. And now let's see where the opposite force, the God self, because God is Sat in Hindu theology, Hindu philosophy, Sat Guru. Sat means eternal self. Capricorn. See where the life principle and the woman principle are positioned? Aquarius, then we have Pisces in the heart. The Christ center again is on the right side of the heart. But it's in line with Leo. The Son of God is on the right side, ruling. God is the only begotten Son. A son is a prince, a king, representative of the Father, who is a ruler. Pisces, Aries, Taurus. Man, in the age of Sagittarius, which is the birth of the universe, our golden age, as you would say. Come, let us make this whole universe. Man, when made at the seventh, after all things were completed, in the sun sign, we find Gemini in its pure crystalline state. The universe is complete. He is at his peak. Here he is a solar being. Come, let us make man in our own image and likeness, male and female, created them. Androgynous being. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is soul. He doesn't have a soul. Man draws from the solar force directly into his body the energy he needs. The Christ reminds us of it on the sermon when he was up in the mountain going through the temptations. And the first temptation was food. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written. Now this is a quotation by Jesus from some source. A knowledge of something that is existing antedating Jesus. So man in his pristine state draws energy from that central sun. The yogis have a technique of drawing the ohashic energy from the top of the brain to feed the body without eating. At a certain level of your growth as initiates, you are taught that technique of absorbing by the energy through the brain. These techniques are not new. They are all existing within us as we become aware of them and turn them on. But here in a pristine state is man. And we saw that the Christ is on the right side. Leo is royalty, he's prince. He is the apple, or the portion of the heart. The father always fears for his son, the thing that is closest to his heart, because he's going to take over and run the place. So, the only begotten son has to go out. Pisces, in the whole symbology, is the only one chosen to make the redemption. Now, Pisces symbolically looks like two fishes, one going in each direction. In Oriental symbolism, when a male child is born, they hang a flag out, and on that flag, there are two fishes, or a fish, to indicate he has to travel through the tides of confrontation, the channels, the subtle currents, and become strong and lead. And when the girl is born, they put up a symbol of a doll, Virgo. Life, Aquarius, on the opposite side. So we see interesting facts of how this thing is resolving itself. That when man is in a pristine state in Gemini, the Christ is on the right side of the Lord. When man falls down to where Scorpio is, the subtle beast. Now, Scorpio is not a bad sign. Don't view it in that sense. Scorpio is the direct opposition of the negative to the positive, like two plates. You can't have a positive without a negative in making a photograph. Sagittarius is the bird. But he needs the opposition as balance. We need the adversary to stabilize this whole cosmic pattern. Now, Scorpio is envious that it can't create like Sagittarius. The subtle force of desire, when moving out, is envious or rebellious that it can't create in from within, like a dynamic principle of God. Now, with all its envy, we can even give Scorpio an opportunity to go way up to the sun sign and let him be the king of the universe, and something has happened to him. Take him out of his base region and put him in his most pristine region, he can't be evil. Because Moses demonstrated that in the Taurian age. By lifting it up to the highest point, he was a transmuter. He was a redeeming force. In the cosmology we see, there is no way that this creative intelligence, Jupiter, made a mistake of allowing anything to take over. He's got every safeguard built in, that everything will reconcile itself. This is truly looking at cosmic energy recycling itself. A true conservation of forces going on all the time. Within each one of us, we are connected. But in the symbology of astrology, we see it. In tonight's lecture, the Aquarian age, which is the final that we're coming into, the symbology will be presented, and then the new terminology presented for modern man to see it. And he will see something pertaining to the future of man. Thank you. asked to state that there is meetings after these lectures are over tonight, those who want to get together. And we will be discussing initiation and meetings in Virginia here with folks who are initiates of the regular meditations. So after the lecture tonight, those who are interested in the initiation, talk with Mrs. Troop or Mrs. Hughes or Mrs. Kevin or Dr. Hall. We'll be glad, or myself, we will discuss it, the possibilities of initiation. Thank you. Any questions? Yes? Yes, there will be in the alcove there paper, pencil, who can't be tonight and who would like to have some information regarding our work. There'll be mailing. You keep your name and address and we'll be glad to mail you for information.
Say if they wanted somebody here to contact.
Yes, we can have someone you can contact. Yes? Oh, the picture. Isn't he a marvelous man? That's Christ of the Aquarian Age. It's not a painting. It's an actual photograph.
Christ of the Aquarian Age?
Yes.
When?
How was it made? How was the picture made?
In a chapel in South America. There were a group of people praying. And the minister or priest who was leading it prayed for a direct materialization of Christ. Nothing short of it on Christmas Day while they were having a group prayer meeting. Nothing short of a direct materialization in that church. Nothing short of that. They have to whip up enough devotion to get it, because he believed that if Christ is in the resurrected body, he can come and prove it to them, as he did to the disciples in the upper chamber. It so happened at that very moment there was a baron from Germany with his young son visiting that area, and the young boy had a camera. And in 1963, when they were praying so hard, lo and behold, in the middle of the church, there he stood, and the boy photographed him. I'm very happy to be proud owner of the picture. It's a copy of the original. And I know for the Aquarian Age, this is a great treasure.
It's impossible for me to get the camera off. I've always wanted to meet you, but I've never dared.
I don't
no.
have,
okay.
You know.
I think I could take a photograph
of it. All right. Surprise yourself.
You won't take it. You won't take it. I'll bring my ego there.
All right. You know, it has some peculiar qualities to do for you. Remember, this was generated out of love by human beings in the 20th century. Not way back in some remote time. And it was not painted by imagination. Modern photographic equipment took it. So the build-up was a tremendous experience for those people. And I and my wife, we feel ourselves very fortunate in such a minute way to be able to have it there. And we wanted it as a treat for the Virginia Beach. Believe me, others have not had the opportunity. You're really blessed for us to bring it to show it. And we would have it for our Christmas meditation. But that's what we got. I know the picture speaks for itself. Yes.
Are there any specific colors that go or are representative of the different signs of the zodiac?
Yes, there are. And tonight we'll cover that in the Aquarian Age, the new terminology. Yes. Well, that would take us pretty long into the night, you know. I'll have to go on to some other lectures. The idea of tonight's lecture is the Aquarian Age and how to view the astrological symbols in a new terminology. Remember this, we have an astral body. We have a physical body, we have a physical cosmos, and we have an astral cosmos or an inner cosmos. But we also have a third one, an idea cosmos. The astrological names will take on their new names tonight to represent the idea cosmos. What are their true ideas? You will not see them and recognize them as Capricorn or Scorpio or so forth. They will have their true idea name, because in the Aquarian Age we're going into the very core of the atomic structure now, and the deep psychological impact. So the names are going to be far more significant to us from the idea realm. The spirituality will be more meaningful. I know the idea of astrological names being used tends to throw off a lot of people as to Christ being involved in such a thing.
Is Hopkins Head of Christ similar to that?
No. It's a very good head of the Master, but this was not.
This is a fifth age now. It was taken when?
63.
In 1963. Yeah. In other words, when he manifests again, this is what he looks like.
Well,
during this age,
sure hope.
Oh, you hope. Oh.
Yes. Well, astrologically speaking, coming back to pictures again, do you believe that he will again enter as a baby as he did in Bethlehem, or will he come? The Bible says, I will come as you saw me grow.
Well, if you put Pisces in the sun center and we remember Leo was in the nether region or the other region, the dark region, coming and going, the Christ in its pure state, when it's awakened in us, all darkness goes out of us. So when we look in and see the Christ fully centered in the sun center of man, each one of us, when we have that inner experience, every smidgen of darkness goes out of us. It's that coming and going. It's not the personality no more. It is that realization that comes in. The Christ is saying to us in that personality of Jesus, that when each one of us take on this regenerative principle upon our consciousness, upon that sun center, even the nethermost region where all ideas will be on the negative side would subside, even that will go out and the whole body would change over. If the astrological symbology in the cosmic man can show you that by lining it up, that Leo would eventually end up here. Royalty, something good. Then if you take this state of awareness psychologically now, every smidgen of desire that is detrimental to you has to go out. The thief on the cross is one such individual. So if you see me the same way I go as I came, it's more than just that. If we want to see the Lord descending out of the clouds, I hope you don't want that, because such a mass conversion is not genuine. out of fear. If we saw the great intelligence coming out of the cloud, and lo and behold, this is the day of judgment, you earthworms. Everybody, please Lord, I've been very bad. I've been following that guy called Adano. Do we want that? He might be one of the false prophets that you mentioned that beware of, they are coming.
In Revelations, when it says that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, also in that
time? Yeah, it's when Scorpio goes back into this corner. Man is in his pristine stage. Man will live. Now, man will live, physiologically speaking, his complete 1,000-year purity in the physical body. Babaji, a living master, an avatar, lives with a physical body. Give and take a few hundred years, let's say 900 years. He's still around. He hasn't given up. His body is youthful and alive. He draws from the cosmic energy. So if that is cosmic man, that's the pure man, then man returns to his pure state. He's where he came from. Now, Methuselah lived how many years? All right. We see these years are not measured in, they're measured in solar time of 28 days to the month, 13 months to the year. Give and take a day or two, 344 or 345, wouldn't find, still 1,000. Makes no difference. Point is, in his pure pristine state, he's entitled to that 1,000 years. Then Scorpio will have to try to pull him down. But in the meantime, he's there to live it out in service to the great intelligence. And Scorpio will stay over here, subdued.
Where does it all end?
What
a question.
Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah. He would say,
all this happens, we start all over again.
You know what he said? Not one jot or tittle of my words shall pass away, though heaven and earth shall pass away. This is a world without end. Mm-hmm. In other words, there isn't any. Thank you. So one person has a question.
Tell us about the fourth wise man.
The fourth wise man was a healer and a king in his own right. And he set out, he had the awareness that the Christ was being born. And he set out from his home bringing a pearl, which was used in healing. Centuries ago, they always used the pearl to crush it up to make medicine and everything. In your future use of medicine, precious stones will be used and tinctures to heal diseases. So he was bringing this because he used it in a homeopathic method and in various other methods. And it was one great pearl as a gift to the Christ being born. On his journey as a physician, he couldn't turn his back or his eyes against the suffering humanity crossing to the West. You know, in those days, you don't go by locomotive, you go by donkey or camel. So especially when you have to pass through the deserts and see people dying from various diseases, a physician at heart would have to reach out in whatever limited way he has. Nevertheless, this gift was one gift of great price. He'd saved them. He'd used it so many times. Finally, he had to dispose of the gift to save the life of a little child. At the very moment he disposed of it, the Christ in the body made a remark about it. He said openly to the crowd, "The least you have done unto one of these, you have done it unto me." He was emphasizing by telepathic understanding and by his cosmic understanding the fact that this was occurring in time and it was being given up for him. Now if we can give up something that is so precious to us as a service to the Christ Self in the form of another human being. You've done it to the God Self. If you reach out and help someone, no matter how minute, with something so precious to you, it has been done to the Christ Self. That was the fourth man, white man's life, a wise man's life. But he didn't arrive at the until he was on the cross, you see. He came after Jesus was already on the cross.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is the last of this series. I hope to pack it all in and really give you a bombshell. Let us align our consciousness
at the breeches or chomping at the bits to get on to this last age, this is the age of Aquarius. But before we go into the age of Aquarius, let us just review a few seconds of a few important things. I was asked yesterday and today again about where does Buddha and Krishna fit into all these. Well, I've been keeping it for the last, you know, because they're very important. We all know now from the few lectures before that Moses came in a Taurian age, right? And also, he lifted up the serpent. He gave forth a great rule, a Mosaic law. And at his period, there were great experiments in the sex energy by various schools of thought, trying to arouse it. Interesting as it may seem, if we line up Buddha, you will find that Buddha came in a Taurian age. From all the facts surrounding the life of Buddha, we will see how he lines up in the Taurian age. But before we line it up, we're saying early in the evening that Pisces is the Christ, and in the uplifted man, when man is in the pristine state, the Christ has power over all forces. You notice the Pisces, which is the Christ in the heart side, is above Aquarius, which is life, which is water. And what was the first miracle that the Christ did in the uplifted man? What he did when the ship was about to sink?
The storm.
We are seeing some interesting things, huh? All right, let's line up again for Buddha before we take Krishna. Krishna I said before, Buddha had a similar age like Moses. So thoughts Gemini. Cancer. Leo. Virgo. Libra. Scorpio. Sagittarius. Capricorn. Aquarius. Pisces. Aries. Now Buddha is the Billy Graham of Brahmanism. In his period, Brahma, the what? Brahmin bull. You are familiar with the Brahmin bull, holy cow of India. Taurus. He was a prince, not a king. He was of royalty. T-A-U-R-U-S, right? That's how it's called, Taurus.
Buddha was born how long before Christ?
Oh. In the Hindu astrology, they take it from their reckoning of his birth in terms of their reckoning that he was of the Brahmin caste. They reckon on the inner man, the line of Buddha. That's why we have to look at it in a Western view of Buddha. It's a little different than in the Oriental astrology and the Western astrology, but the lining up according to the chart, we have to line up in terms of Taurus, which is the bull, because he's in the Brahmin caste. He is of royal birth, and therefore to start him off at the point of reference, we have to use it as Taurus. So it's a little difficult for the Eastern reading, because their symbols in their astrology differ than the Western symbols. See, they use the rat, the cock, the rabbit, and a few different symbols. Now, Taurus would be for the Brahmin bull. Brahmanism is on the upsurge. It's a revival going on. But if the incidents around it on the inner man is important. He is of royalty, therefore he's lined up in the heart. He's a prince, he's not a king. Therefore, there's a big difference between Buddha now. And Moses, we notice, was a prince of the royal house of Egypt, but was not a king either. Therefore, he's on the right side of the heart. It's precious to the throne, but not the important. Now, Moses gave forth law or balance. That was in the moon. Buddha gave forth the eightfold noble path of a spiritual discipline. Libra is in the moon. Now, Moses raised up the serpent, indicating the awakening of the life, of the psychic powers, the awakening, the regenerative principles, the awakening of the Kundalini, and the renewal of that consciousness.
Buddha was called the Enlightened One because he was called the Great Renunciate. Scorpio is supposed to govern the subtle force, the sexual region, and when it is absorbed, it's renounced, it's celibacy, it takes on the role of regeneration. So he too lifted up in Scorpio being in the sun sign. Therefore, Scorpio in the sun sign, in a deep spiritual significance, represents desirelessness. Buddha now shows that he was the desirelessness. He taught non-attachment. He taught detachment. He taught the great renunciation by living out the life of the great renunciation. He is emphasizing Scorpio at its highest point. As I said, tonight we're going to identify these symbols in terms that would be more familiar to us, psychologically speaking. So Scorpio, in the sun sign for Buddha, brought enlightenment, desirelessness, the one desire for God only. No other desire, non-attachment, nirvana. He was a Brahmin, so the sign is in Taurus. He was a prince, Leo. And he gave forth the golden rule, the eightfold noble path, which everyone in Buddha religion or Buddhism do follow, the eightfold noble path. So we see it can be tracked out while he's there. Now we want to go to Krishna and just line him up and see where Krishna fits in. Then we come back to the Aquarius age. Krishna was literally a king, not a prince. He literally was a king, crowned, and ruled a certain part in India. When one literally is a king, then he is in the sun sign, would be Leo. You can see some interesting things now. So his favorite consort was Radha. A virgin. You never see Krishna without Radha. She was a virgin. It was his beloved of all the devotees, and she was a virgin. He gave a wonderful discourse between desirelessness and non-involvement. And it's the great compassion. People know it as the Bhagavad Gita, the discourse on the battlefield. Scorpio is centered in the middle part of the body and represents the subtle force, desire. It's not located in the sexual region. Therefore, the basic appetites, the basic desires are being held in check. Sagittarius is in the sex region. Capricorn is at the base of the feet, at the earth center. On the right side of the earth center Aquarius is appearing. Strange, huh? And on the right side of the sex region, Pisces, and lumbar, Aries is not only humility, but it also is often associated with war, a battering ram. It's associated with the planet Mars. And you have to fight only because someone wants to take away your land, the part of the earth that you want to live and feed yourself. Taurus, the bull, is in the heart center, and the Brahmins were in great conflict between which is the right and which is the wrong way, the clashing of kinsmen. Gemini, man, is in line with truth and Cancer, the moon of Cancer. We see some interesting things about Krishna. Krishna is remembered because of Radha and the gopis, milkmaids, precious to his heart. Krishna is supposed to have a confrontation at a battlefield where conscientious objection of fighting the kinsman between Arjuna and his kinsman. Desire to kill or not to kill. And Krishna is remembered for giving forth a great religious truth. And he was called the Christ in his period, Gopal the Krishna, a great teacher too. Sagittarius is the teacher guru, Pisces is the Christ, and also he had full control of the sexual forces. They were in balance. But an interesting thing, we start the age in Aquarius, life control. Krishna gave forth a technique of life control by saying these very words, offering the ingoing breath to the outgoing breath, and offering the outgoing breath to the ingoing breath, the yogi arrests decay and becomes immortal. We have some interesting facts of Krishna. Now this age has been called Age of Aquarius. Let's see if some peculiar things are not repeating itself in the Age of Aquarius. What are those people called who shave their hair, strut down the back, they wear an orange robe and they sing along the street there, say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know those people? They used to be Christians who didn't like the Hindu people at one time. They used to be Christians who didn't like the Hindus at one time. And the Jesus freak were Hindus who didn't like the Christians at one time. We got to have them balanced out. The Krishna group, Jesus freak, as you want to call it. I don't like the word Jesus freak. But these religious movements are returning back to face themselves in the age, on a positive end of the scale, to resolve their differences. They have just shifted their roles. One has, the thing we hate is the thing we become. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. No one lay a hand upon Cain. He killed his brother Abel, I'll take care of him. I'll put him in a position where he'll know what it is to be Abel. A battlefield is waging in the time of Krishna. Alright, let's look back to a year called 1776. The Aquarian age is not in its full flow, according to Sri Yukteswar. We've just come through the cusp from the Piscean age. When the Piscean age was here, Aquarius was here, it just moved across to come up. So it's just begun in the cusp. So the Piscean age has brought with it certain conditions. In 1776, something occurred in this landmass that we are living on. What happened then? Remember what people said, we fought to become independent. All right, let's go back to 1492, when Pisces were over there. Pisces were here and Aquarius was back there. There was a man who said he's got to find a new route to what part of the world?
India.
But he went from east to where? Okay. We end up coming on the west. Now, along came with him followers who settled to colonize the west and brought with them the conquistadors. We remember them by laying waste this hemisphere. And in their wake followed their friends who were once their friends, who were once their allies and then became their enemies. And they all start fighting among themselves. All in the tail end of the Piscean age, going to the cusp of Aquarius. Now, our descendants, our children, we are the descendants of someone that came from someplace, right? they had to migrate. They were in conflict. There was a great exodus. We notice that ages seem to occur when exodus is in movement. Man seems to move out from one part landmass to another. The Europeans came and settled in the cusp period of Aquarius. And here we see we've gone through from Aquarius being over here, Pisces was here from 1492 to about 1776, then it shifted and Aquarius came up, Pisces went up, and we're in this position around 1776. Aries went up, Scorpio came down. They're lining up. Something is going to happen now. War is going to be in the shifting of the periods. If Aries go up and Scorpio come down, there are periods of wars during the cusp from 76 on up to present state. We've had what, a series of wars, mm-hmm, of the most brutal and technical we can think of, the shifting up, all over a trade balance, all over a landmass, all over food complex. Now, let's look at the cosmic man pertaining to our present landmass that we live on and see some interesting things about before we fit it into the world. This country in 1776 was establishing in the cusp period its independence from the old world to the new world, the breaking away from over here to here. Aquarius is moving, therefore the shift of humanity is moving towards something better. Now, when Aries was located where Pisces is now, Taurus was in the belly. Now, when Aquarius was over here and Pisces was below, that was the period of the shifting, tail end of Pisces going through the cusp. Our form of farming depended upon what? Oxen plowing the ground. Now, to colonize and to develop this land mass, what is the most precious thing that we love when we go at McDonald's? Through the period in the Aquarian age, the meat product has to go up close to the heart as a means of a stable diet, the frontier country, and the longhorn was native to this country, which looked like a Brahmin bull. And we breed or crossbreed the Brahmin bull to the longhorn. Interesting, we're doing some peculiar things with the cattle. Man, which is Gemini, has moved up. And Virgo, which was the favorite of Krishna in his day, was an equal partner in the affairs of life. You remember, not too long ago, someone shouted, "Woman's lib." Must have a voice in things. Mm-hmm. In the age of Aquarius, we got to have a voice in things. We're reliving now the age, just like Krishna on the upward scale now. Then we find here again that Leo is a king sign, but a peculiar thing in the Leo, its moon is in Cancer.
That means it's locking, it's a regenerative.
Our form of government is majestic, but not monarchical or dictatorial. It is an all collective, like the crab with many legs. What have we got now? A federation. We have a federated form of government for the first time appearing, and would have had the same thing in time of Krishna, but he was fully majestic, but he united the brothers of the Pandava to fight the Kushans, who were their cousins. That was a type of split federation, a great civil war between the brothers over the kingdom. Did we not have a similar split war in this country? Over the middle part of the country, the bread area, the whole the east and west across the Dixon-Mason line, war went on. We've got the same reappearing here in the Aquarian Age. Now, in the time of Krishna, Arjuna, a man of noble birth, man of prince, did not want to fight, and became on record the first conscientious objector. We see in the Aquarian Age how many people are revolting the idea of going to war for a government, burning the draft cards, everything. We see the reason why they have to do it, because Gemini, which is man, is in the throat and must have a voice in the say of things, what the government do with their life. If we are a federated people, do we have a freedom of choice? Do we have a say in the way our lives are moved or monitored or triggered off by the government? Now, Virgo is on the opposite side, and if we had to have men striving for an equal right as to what we do with our lives by the government, then women must have an equal say as what will be done with their lives. We find out why the woman lib comes into activity. They have a voice and they speak up both for the man and both for the woman. And in the age, we see the same thing was true in the time of Krishna. He had Arjuna speaking up for men, not wanting to destroy his life over war, and women having an equal role in the house, in Radha. Now, an interesting thing will appear now in the Aquarian Age, just as in the time of Krishna. Pisces is the Christ center, and Krishna was the Christ of his time. And we have Sagittarius, which is the guru sign in the Hindu astrology. These two are imbalanced in the sex region. Religion is taking a new shape. In the time of Krishna, Krishna told Arjuna, take up your bow and fight. Krishna was a married man, and Arjuna was a married man. Arjuna was never on record as a Grihasthita. He was a prince married. We find now, if religion is taking a shape in the Aquarian age, then the householder teachers, the man and wife relationship is reappearing now in its true balance. Now we look at Gemini, which is man, and we look at Virgo, a voice in things, woman's liberation. We are seeing now the perfect balance again in giving forth truth. The householder spiritual role is taking shape again. I sent you out in pairs. Go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and unto whose house you come, and if they receive you, may your peace be upon them. And if they don't, depart from that city and brush the dust off your feet and withdraw your peace and take off. But in that time, the pairs were two men, or could be considered two women. In this age, the pair is a husband and a wife. So if you don't want us, we will take our peace and go. Okay? Interesting, huh? That the forces are balancing out in the Aquarian age. The husband and wife role is digging in to have true meaning for the first time in the Aquarian age. Now, we're seeing another interesting fact. Where are we going in the Aquarian age in terms of the economy? Because everyone thinks that now in the Aquarian age it's got to be more abundance. And abundance is like the stock market. We gauge the nation's abundance by a rise and a fall in the stock market. Now, interesting that Libra represents a scale, and that's the heart. The thing closest to your heart, next to your wife, is what? Your pocketbook. See? So, wherever we look at it, in the Aquarian age, we are going to find this particular condition occurring. Now, let us look in the time of Krishna. India was at its highest peak of material prosperity in the time of Arjuna, Radha, and Krishna, and was known at that time to be the light of the world, the light of Asia. Now, you said a light. Yogananda called this country years ago when he was on it, when a man by the name of Columbus set out to look for India and ended up here calling it India. He said this country is the new India, the new light of the world. Now, we have a statue out on Ellis Island. The pigeons have invaded it. What does the statue pose up?
Torch, light.
Interesting. How we seem to build all our traditional heritage symbology around ideas that are coming through from the inner consciousness. Yet it's happening in the Aquarian age. Now, at the time of Krishna, equality was down to the lowest peasant. After the battle the Mahabharata was over, the great battle, the great civil war. Everyone was equal. In the founding of this country, at the end of the civil war, and the east and north and south started to rebuild. But in the process, equality had to work itself up. Today we have the same identical thing occurring in the Aquarian age to bring back the status of equality among men. All nations, all colors, rallying for the first time in service You had the same identical thing in the time of Krishna and Arjuna period. They also brought about that in their own country. Now, many of you are familiar with the symbology of astrology. Which symbol do you think represents healing?
Scorpio,
because if we don't have a serpent, we have something similar. We have to remember we have something similar to represent it. And the winged caduceus is supposed to be two winged serpents wrapped around a staff. On one side we find Scorpio, and the other side we find Aries. Now, Scorpio in the original position is down in the astrological symbology to be in the generative organs, and Aries is supposed to be the head, and the serpent wearing his head up is like a winged caduceus. They are in balance as the mainstay of the cosmic man. So your healing arts are going to be fantastically magnified in the Aquarian age. We are not even going to recognize the healing arts in a few more years to come. They're going to be so unbelievable that every art that was known from past time will start to suddenly mushroom out. Well, let's go back to Krishna Arjuna period. The healing art was at its highest also. Ayurvedic methods of medicine, there is none to compare with this. We don't even have in this country anything as close to the Ayurvedic healing methods. And they were the highest peak all in the time of the Krishna Arjuna period. Now, Krishna was called also a lion king. Jesus was also called a lion king. Modern man is also looking for some individual as a teacher who has a name, lion to his name, as a king. Western man is looking back to the East for some guru. Somebody over here on the eastern side to be the spark plug. Only in India we find the names of men ending with the word lion. But in their language it's called Singh, S-I-N-G-H, meaning lion. And a lion has a mane, and the Singhs are the only Eastern people who wear a beard, tie their heads up, carry a short sword, a silver bracelet, and a comb, and go out into the world as lions. The youngest religion of the earth known to man today to have the fastest rise with the most converts is the Sikh religion, the religion of the lion. The royal religion, the religion in where the founders are all called gurus, Guru Nanak, 500 years ago, founded the Sikh religion. Its rise is fantastic. That the writings of the gurus, we have none to compare even in the Western world with the writings of the inner life. They have all exemplified the science of the soul, and they teach the same truth that we know today as the Holy Word. Jesus said, I go unto the Father, but I'll send you the Holy Spirit, the Holy Life Current, the Holy Word, who will remind you of all these things in my name. The bursting forth in the Western world of the science of religion known as the Audible Life Current, or some current, has suddenly hit the Western shores and was brought forth by lions of God known as Singh, the living master in the present Christ state. Is not only a Sagittarian by birth, but he's a Singh, and he's a lion, and he's a truly realized God-man. His name is Charan Singh. Western men have written about him. They call him the Radiant One. The earth is never, at no time, without a living master or a living Christ-realized man. They do exist all the time, and they are of royalty, because before the word Charan, Singh, Lion of God, there's another word that comes to indicate royalty, Maharaj. The great king. Maha means great, Raj or Raja, king. Now he is a king in his own right, but he is a householder king because he's a married man. And he's demonstrating in this Aquarian age the householder path, providing for his family and rendering service to the world. In Christ's name. We are seeing now how religion is coming across for the first time in the Aquarian age. We are seeing how the healing arts. Now, which sign you think represents music? You remember, Krishna was a musician. He played upon a particular instrument to do what?
Flute.
Flute. And therefore, he attracted to him the what animal?
Sheep.
A cow. A cow. Taurus. You see, this country, you know it as bang, 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 the stars of Texas are deep and bright. And you go all over, num, pom, pom, pom. You know it? You recognize how music has spurred on by the early pioneers, from the cowboy up to the most sophisticated form as we know it. And it's going to spread more because it's closest to the heart. The music, be the food of the soul, play on. Every nation in this country has given forth some contribution to music. Every level of society has contributed to it. And way back in Krishna period, the ragas and the raginis, Indian music, reaches highest point under the reign of the Pandavas. So we see an interesting in music now. In India at that time, music was used to heal.
It was known as kirtans, devotional singing.
That's why the only thing that the Krishna group shouts, let us all sing and chant, praise the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, nothing else, we need to enjoy God. Sing and be happy. They were healing themselves through mantra songs. We are going to find now that more and more as we go into musical therapy or song therapy, we are going to heal different types of diseases, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Now, Saul was a king. And when he was in the melancholy state or in the blues, he had little David play upon his bang, 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 to ease the heart, to ease the pain. We're finding that more we're going to understand how, because of their positions, we can now not only understand and work with the healing art, work with the music, we're going to work now, male and female, our voice and things, the balance in their home life will be restored. We'll also see now the wisdom that is necessary to lift us up, the life current, the recycling of the life current, the audible life current, the Holy Word. Also, we'll see now that color will begin to have a predominance. The science of color starts to predominate. Well, if you look at all these symbols here, which one you think is the most colorful? If you had to take them and look at them. Remember, let me throw a little clue in. Color shifts and changes in moods. Our moods are determined by the moon, and therefore color is in Cancer. It's a colorful object to see a crab. And you stretch it out in the different tones and shapes of the bone, the lines of it. We'll start to really see color taking tremendous predominance, even color therapy, by light. Because remember, it's a form of light we're working in the moon. And it's filtering the sun's light, Leo, majestic. Color is so uplifting to the eyes. And when used in a therapeutic way, it will expand the consciousness. And those who have resorted to the drug know that the brilliancy of colors when seen are so intense that they want to recapture the experience inside. That's why they resort to the drug, for to see the brilliancy in colors. Now, Capricorn, we notice, is the goat. You notice in what area of this, the cosmic management? It's on the nether region, negative end. man is veiled by the truth. He's right next to color. But he's made a scapegoat by drugs of Capricorn consciousness, thinking he can recapture color by that method, not realizing that he can see color by looking to his true majestic nature inside, his God nature, which has all the brilliance of all the colors. Only by turning inward, as the Christ said, when thine eyes are single, now focus at the moon center. The whole body is full of light, but light is a collection of all colors. Man has sold himself short. But we need to be sold short in order to appreciate what we've inherited or brought into manifestation. In our Aquarian age, we are going to reclaim some interesting things about ourselves. Now, color and its therapeutic effects are going to start increasing. Now, we're going to shift a few ideas into the idea world, the idea body. We're going to knock out one symbol and replace one true idea. We knocked out Libra and replaced Karma. And Moses, when he was on the earth plane, and Scorpio was in the sun sign, Libra was in the moon, thought, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Buddha, when he came, and Scorpio was in the sun sign and Libra was in the moon, he said, karma or kismet, cause and effect. So, the idea world, we are a physical body, chemically speaking. We are an astral body, electrically speaking. We are a causal body, or idea speaking. So we can knock out now and start going into the idea world. Karma. Now the beast, we don't have a serpent to indicate it. But Scorpio has been the only symbol to represent it. And they say the beast, or the serpent, or form, is the most subtlest of all the forces, of all the creatures. We'll knock it out. And give ourselves something more significantly important. Knock out Scorpio and place desire. Now desire is twofold, like scorpion, regenerative and degenerative. Desire can tear you down, desire can build you up. Because when you spell desire, D-E-S-I-R-E. This way you're going to see something interesting about the word. Sire is to foster or to generate of one's own kind. De is to divide. But also sire is a term referring to royalty. No matter how we, Scorpio, can divide us between ourselves, Scorpio can return to royalty. We can put it back in the sun sign. If it goes down to the nether region, it's balanced. No matter where it plays along the scale, it will always be reconciled. So we see we can knock out Scorpio and place desire. We'll knock out Virgo and place a word very, very, very important to us. Purity. You know, we have been accused by Europeans of Elizabethan blood. The early people that came across, they were called pure what?
Virgins.
Or stuck up virgins. I tell you, in this Aquarian age, we've seen some wonderful things about ourselves. It's great to be alive in it. Not alone in going out to the other stars. All right. Let us take we'll knock out this one down. Aries and place humility. Remember, the Christ said, meekly wait and murmur not. Humility can defeat desire. Either way. Humility can generate devotion, which is a form of desire of the highest type. Buddha said this. Jesus put it first, let me quote Jesus. Meekly wait and murmur not. That is, remain in a state of humility. Now Buddha antedated Jesus and he said this. Murmur not at the dispensation of God, for his wisdom is unbounded and his power is unlimited. So, meekly wait and don't grumble. That's nitty-gritty saying it. I don't want to grumble, see. Okay. Let us look at another one we will knock out. Taurus. And we will replace it with willpower or will, volition. You ever heard that term, man don't be bullheaded? Because they will ram themselves through. But you see, willpower is necessary to knock out karma. If you don't got the will to fight your confrontation, you can't win it. You've got to have willpower to defeat your karma, to modify karma, to break down the pull of the law of karma on you. If you accept karma as fatalism, then you don't have willpower. But if you execute willpower in the divine way, you knock out the karma. You can modify the karma. Your sins are forgiven according to your alignment with the divine will. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. You knock it out. And the pure in heart sees God. That's why they are lined up in the heart center. Now, we'll knock out Aquarius. And we will put in the Holy Spirit. Are audible life current. Which is called the word. We are in the age of the Holy Spirit. And mass conversion by speaking in tongues are constantly popping up. more so in the history of man than at any other time. In every church you know today, practically everyone is reaching out and wanting to speak in tongues. In the ancient time, only I think Peter and a few others spoke in tongues, and just one or two along the line. But here in today's age, let's look back in Krishna time. They had a similar outpouring of the Spirit. When the gopis and all the people were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, many found themselves speaking in different languages, praising Lord Krishna.
Interesting. Now we'll knock out Pisces and we will place the word Christ consciousness.
The Christ consciousness. The intelligence in vibratory creation. And it's on the positive side of the creative force, which is the sex act.
Now we will knock out Sagittarius. And we will give it cosmic consciousness. The Son, the Father, they're holding the balance in the most creative part in the lower region. But they are both of kingly nature, holding the balance in the Sun. The balance is checked by Leo the Sun, and that is knocked out and replaced by government or royalty. Order is the first law of the universe. When in the Sun sign you have to govern, in the Aquarian age government is going to reach its highest point of perfection. Every form of government are going to go through various changes to raise up the level of man. Even monarchical governments, dictatorial governments, they're all going to go through a tremendous change. We only have a few left to be knocked out, and I think by then we can pretty well guess. We will knock out man. And we will give you sensory nature. But what holds the balance of the five senses or the sensory nature? Good old purity. Purify those five senses. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, listen to no evil. In the Aquarian age, the refinement of the sensory nature leads to what? Why are we down here in Virginia Beach trying to run after Mr. Casey? We're down here looking for the extra sensory. Ain't that what he is? Refinement of the sensory nature leads to the extrasensory in the Aquarian age. Now, Cancer. We'll knock it out and give ourselves one word that makes it possible to do it in the Aquarian age. It takes that to make it work in the Aquarian age.
the tenacity, the stick to it, the do it yourself. What are we famous for throughout the world as the nation of the what? The do it yourselfer. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we want a do it yourself religion at the same time. Mm-hmm. We don't want nobody pushing down the religion down our throat. We want to be able to do it. We want to know the mechanics of it. We want to be able to tear it apart, put it back, and come up capable of working it. In our cosmic man, the idea body is already now set up for us to work now. We can shift this around as we shift the astrological body. And we can see how we can go off the track, or we can see how we can correct the track. Now these particular ideas can be synchronized to electrical terms. And this will go pretty long. I don't want to take up your time.
Capricorn. What about Capricorn?
I know everybody would say something. See, I'm glad people are watching. Otherwise, I think I'm talking and nobody's listening. Capricorn. Well, let's think. You should be able to spot what Capricorn should represent in this movement by now. Capricorn represents organization. But you know where it's on what area of the cosmic man it is in? So what have we got today? This organization, a constant tearing down of every organized form of life. Because she's located, organized life as the concrete way coming down traditionally through the Piscean period, setting up even my good old Catholic Church, who built celibacy when organization was in the sex region in the Piscean age, now comes down to the Earth center and Aquarius move across, even her organization is tearing down. Mm-hmm. She has to go down. But only by going to her knees is she reborn. Because the cosmic consciousness and the Christ consciousness are in the air that holds the balance. The conflict between the priest and the pope, between marriage and celibacy, is the conflict of the organization of life in the church. When it's resolved, then again, we will have man, woman, or the sensory nature we purify. We will see again that the priest and the wife will go out like ancient time, priest and priestess, working in harmony for the healing of the nation. Thank you. Thank you. Take a few minutes break before I ask some questions. I know I have some things to announce.